Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the morning show. Tom Kelly in for Joe DiCamera today. Talking a lot about the Sixers. Joel Embiid, interesting piece on ESPN.com about him, his tenure in Philadelphia with the organization. Our Twitter poll question of the day, sponsored by Armin Chevrolet. Armin has the new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. Who do you blame more for the Sixers' failures? Joel Embiid or the Sixers? I've gone back and forth on this, but in the end, I go with Joel Embiid. I think he's the star player. He's the guy it's all built around. It's got to go on him first. Where do you go, John?
I think I have to go. Man, this does not sound right. You ask me a very simple question. It's very difficult.
It's a difficult question to answer. It's not an easy question.
I want to say it's the Sixers' fault, and then the more I read of this article, the more I'm really blown away that Joel needs to do more, needs to do better. He is at fault. The player. Ultimately, he is the one who needed to do more.
Right.
And he is the one who needs to come back and lead this team to a championship, or we will say the process was a failure. He is the one. And so I will blame him for the failure before the organization. Yeah, but, man, it's close.
It's tough.
I really want to go organization, but this... this is bad stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
this is revealing.
And again, there's bad stuff on
both
sides.
But it's also sympathetic. I'm sympathetic to some degree that this atmosphere, this did not foster greatness.
Well, that's why
100%. That's why that's a great phraseology.
Yeah, and that's why it's such an interesting case, because you can have sympathy, you can understand the fact that he has gone through a ton of injuries. It's not all his fault, but at the same time, look at what he could have done better. Where do you fall, Rhea, officially, Embiid or the Sixers?
I think officially I've always been in the non-Embiid.
Hey, you're anti both.
Yeah, well,
you know, let's
easy
be honest.
To be anti-Sixers. The organization didn't help him, but you know, he's how old now? 31?
Yeah.
32, 31. You have to take charge of yourself at some point. I think he hasn't always, you know, rehabbed himself. Well, you pointed out something which was fascinating. He's got Nick Batum pointing out that his knee was so swollen that he could barely move. They was shocked he was able to walk. And then, was it right after that he was in the Olympics?
It was during the Knicks series, during that last series.
So the Knicks, and then after that was the Olympics.
Yeah. No, okay.
You can't have it both ways.
Yeah, and we'll talk about this Olympics throughout the course of the show. But that was like the cherry on top for me with Embiid. Because honestly, I came out of that Knicks series, and I was positive. Like, I thought he actually did fight his ass off in that game six. And that's why I was looking for any shred of positivity. Mm-hmm. So I came out of it and I'm like, you know what? He proved something to me. He proved to me that maybe he gets it now. They were getting blown out early in that game. He kind of willed him back into it. And I wanted to hope. And then the fact that he was still playing in the Olympics crushed me. Like, because it was like, no, he does not understand it. He does not get it. I get why he wanted to play, but sometimes you're a big boy, you got to make big boy decisions. And that means sometimes there are things that you need to sacrifice. And that was something that for his team that he's supposed to be the leader of, it was his obligation to not play in the Olympics.
And we're in complete agreement on that.
It still drives me insane that he did that. It was just... you know, it was selfish. I believe that from the minute he elected to play, and I still believe it now. I think anybody who, you know, says that had no impact on this past season,
it's ridiculous.
You're just lying yourself.
He was never ready for a training camp.
Right. It's just you don't want to believe that that was the case, but it's indisputable. Yeah. And he could have, there's no argument, no logical argument that if he didn't, in the summer, instead of playing basketball, if he hadn't focused on eating right, getting his body right, rehabbing his knee, because they basically said he couldn't walk between games in that series, you can't make that decision.
The next series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't do it. You just can't.
It seems It seems so foolish. At the time, you know, where do your priorities lie with the timing of all of it? You know, this organization, the Sixers organization, it's all built around you, and you have to understand and respect the fact that these guys are here in the now to win.
Yeah.
And, you know, choosing something that you know you're hobbled to begin with. That you know will hobble you more and prevent you from doing your job that you signed up for here in Philadelphia for your city. Man, that really hurts. That hurts me as a fan. That hurts me that Joel, it feels like he chose to create that lost season. And that's what last year was, the lost season for 16 games, 18 games, whatever
right.
it was.
And that's exactly how I felt. As a Sixers fan, you know,
I gotta blame
mean, yeah, maybe it makes me a bad American. I care more about the Sixers than I do Team USA basketball. Like, I don't really care about them winning the gold medal. I want the Sixers to win. And I feel like that put the Sixers at a disadvantage. That's got to be your priority. And I don't think that was his priority.
It would have been neat if he could do both. It would have been neat if he could do both. But you got to have the good sense, Joel, to do, you know, to balance that.
Exactly.
To exercise adult prudence and figure out which path to take. Playing in the Olympics when you can't walk between games against the Knicks. That's not prudent. That's not prudent moving forward if the Sixers are your only focus.
Totally agree. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Did want to throw out our side topic. We'll get back to the phones in a second, but our side topic for the day, it's David Hasselhoff's birthday today. Are you a big fan of the Hoff, John?
Are
you a big fan of his?
I mean, I was Knight Rider mania.
I never
child.
I never saw Knight Rider.
Are you serious?
Oh,
you never saw Knight Rider?
Baywatch was, you know, popular when I was a kid. I was a little young for it.
Did that sound kind of like the? No,
it was a little annoying, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but that's what it sounded like.
David Hasselhoff, multifaceted, an actor, a singer. He's like huge in Germany, right? They love him.
He's a pop star. Yeah, they mob him. And people faint like the Beatles over him in Germany.
So give us somebody that's multi-talented, like multifaceted. And I'll start with mine. How about Bradley Cooper? Like he's obviously has acting chops, but then you saw in that movie did Star Is Born. He's pretty good musically too.
And he directs, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Talented
he does.
Dude, local man. We gotta talk to him.
Who do you
have? He's in the box at games and stuff.
He's always down there. Who do you have?
Jesse Palmer.
That's a good answer.
All of my icons on my TV now, it's like one-third of them have Jesse Palmer's face.
Because he does The Bachelor, Bachelor in Paradise.
He's hosting a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
That has to do with, you know, the competitions that my daughters were very, very into Love Island, so...
Teenagers love that show.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
So, and it was...
I had never seen it until I was like, what is this?
I see it on like Twitter all the time.
It's nuts.
So he hosts that show.
I tried to get into it at the very end, Love Island, and I was, you know, disappointed a little bit. But anyway, Jesse Palmer, it seems like he hosts a lot of that stuff, and he does a lot of cooking stuff, and he's everywhere. And he was a guy, he played as a backup when I was playing. And I actually did an event at one point when the Super Bowl was in New York for, what was it, 50?
Yeah.
Super Bowl 50?
48.
48.
Whatever, who cares?
Celebrity.
Thanks, boss.
It was about accuracy. Yeah.
All right,
Celebrity Beach Bowl. It was flag football. And this was a game that I've talked about it. Serena Williams was on my team.
Wow, that's
pretty
cool.
She wanted to play quarterback. She took the ball from Jesse Palmer. Jesse Palmer was the quarterback on my team, and he was good.
Canadian, by the way.
And he was throwing,
Well, that's a
very nice guy, very kind guy, very, very good guy.
Good.
Not the greatest pro football player, but a great career as a backup. And now, holy cow, his career has
certainly multi-talented. What do you got, Ray?
But he was a good flag football quarterback, much better than Serena Williams.
Good. What do you have, Rhea?
I have Jamie Foxx. So Jamie Foxx, I watched a bio on him one time. Growing up, he learned to play classical piano by the age of 5. So classical pianist, was the quarterback of his team, I believe also the point guard for his high school team. And when they were casting for Ray, which he won an Oscar for, he said, Ray Charles said, the comic? He goes, I need somebody who knows how to play piano. And he had to actually sit down and audition for Ray Charles, who was blown away.
Oh, wow.
So that's that's him playing in that movie.
Yeah, that's interesting, too. What do you got, Buzz?
I was going to go, another football player, Michael Strahan, Hall of Famer on the field, as it's now like known as a talk show host for, I mean, coming up on 2 decades now. I remember when my girlfriend and I first started going out, she wasn't much of a sports person. She didn't even know Michael Strahan played.
Yeah.
He just knew him as the Today Show host.
And
this guy was a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Most people would know him more from his TV career.
Way. How dare you pick a New York Giant?
Yeah.
I know.
Come on, Buzz. So who do you have that's multi-talented or multifaceted? That is our side topic today. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Paul in Downingtown. What's up, Paul?
Hey, good morning. Morning show. How are you guys?
Doing great, Paul.
So this is a really interesting conversation, and I think, you know, nobody's wrong, kind of. But I look at it as the 76ers' organizational legacy is of waste and stupidity. So while Joel Embiid certainly holds a lot of responsibility, you know, for his career and where he's wound up and how things have gone, there's a but in my sentence, because the historical lens for the 76ers is that, incompetence across incompetence that spans decades and ownership groups. You know, Dr. J was nearly wasted. It wasn't until the very end of his career, when he was practically on one leg, that he got the proper support to win a championship. Charles Barkley was utterly wasted. Allen Iverson, despite having the heart of, 17 men or a guy 12 times his size, at the end of the day, Allen Iverson was barely 6 feet tall, and the organization did nothing to support him. And then here we have Joel Embiid. So we have just an example of four players that were generational, in their time, that were unique talents in the NBA, and nearly all of them were completely wasted because they came to this organization. And, you know, maybe this last bit is, you don't want to believe maybe in sporting gods or something like that, but perhaps just maybe you can't thumb your nose at honest competition. You can't disgrace the league that you play in by trying not to win without some consequences, from fate or something like that. And this organization at different times chose to lose, in an attempt to what? To win? To create a winning culture? The Sixers are disgusting. And this town loves basketball. And it's something that older people like me, whose parents, grew up on Wilt Chamberlain and people like that, it's hard for us to contain our anger. It's hard for us to look at that organization and smile. I almost never wear my Sixers gear anymore. I am furious when I talk about what has gone on with this organization across my lifetime, and I am 55. I remember, everything going back to the horrible trades of the 80s, when we could have been looking at Brad Doherty and Charles Barkley. And instead we got broken knees and twisted ligaments and garbage. And it's been nothing but steaming piles of garbage and excuses for decades. And it's hard to swallow.
Yeah, no, Paul. It is, and I appreciate the call. And that's the thing. And I think Paul speaks for a lot of Sixers fans. It's just like you get to the point where it's just so frustrating because, I mean, as he said, it spans like decades in terms of the incompetence of this organization.
He said some interesting stuff there. I just started thinking about, I don't ever wear my Sixers gear, to his point.
You hesitate when you pick up a shirt and you go,
just at the very bottom. I really did. My inner eye flashed to my closet where, like, the bottom of every pile is a Sixers thing.
And I don't feel that way about the Flyers, and they haven't won in forever.
No, that's true.
I mean, that's the crazy part.
Flyers are above them. Flyers t-shirt has been worn. Actually, I'm trying to get a Flyers t-shirt back from my son because he stole it. I want to be wearing it. Heavily in rotation and use. And yet the Sixers still crinkly, folded, probably to the point where I should wash it again before I wear it because it's been folded and crinkled up at the bottom of the pile for so long at the bottom of the closet.
Well, especially when you look at this last year. Like, this last year was so incredibly frustrating that I think everybody's kind of disgusted at this point. But want to know from you, if you've read this Joel Embiid article, we'll continue reading excerpts from it throughout the course of the show. But when you look at the Joel Embiid era and the way this thing has gone here, who do you blame more? Do you put it more on the Sixers? Do you put it more on Joel Embiid?
It will take you 49 minutes and 57 seconds.
Yeah, Vonnie is done. 49 minutes, 50 seconds is exactly what it took her to read this whole thing. 215-592.
It's not slow. We swear to it.
494.
Very bright girl.
Yeah, if you want to get in. Tom Kelly in for Joe DeCamera. This is The Morning Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.